Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Aiken City Council meeting on October 11th, 2004. Glad to have you with us, and if you would please stand for our prayer and pledge of allegiance.
Lord Heavenly Father, it's a privilege to come here tonight, to be able to be in a free society, to be able to gather together that citizens could come before this council and come to this government and freely say what they want to say. We just lift up the coming elections, Lord, and the troubles that we're having overseas. We pray for the council meeting here tonight and just ask that you give us the wisdom, discernment, and understanding as to how to deal with each and every one of these issues. We thank you for the great staff that we have here and for the council and the great city and the citizens that are here tonight. We ask your blessing upon all this, and we ask in your name, amen.
Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any additions or deletions to be made to the agenda? If not, do we have a motion to approve the agenda as it stands?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, wait a second. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Pass this unanimously. First item is the minutes. Consideration of the minutes of the work session of September 21st, 2004. The work session and regular meeting of September 27th, 2004. Are there any additions, deletions, corrections necessary? If not, do we have a motion and second?
Move, Mr. Mayor, that we adopt the minutes of the work session on 9/21 and the regular meeting on 9/27.
Okay.
A second.
Second. Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Under old business, the first item has to do with appointments to boards and commissions. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. We have four pending appointments to boards, and we have one to present to you tonight. Councilwoman Waters has recommended the appointment of William McGee to serve on the Community Development Committee to replace Robert Faulkner. That term would expire on September 2nd, 2006.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion on this?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Second. All right. Thank you. Any discussion? If not, show hands, please. All in favor. Passes unanimously. Item 2 is a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to annex property at 792 Henry Street. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. Mayor and Council, we have three ordinances, one right after each other, all very similar, all in the same area, all to receive city services for second reading tonight. The first one is at 792 Henry Street. They would like to come into the city. The Planning Commission reviewed this and voted unanimously to approve this annexation for this house that is currently at that location. You approved this on your first reading on September 27th. This is second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to annex property at 792 Henry Street under the RS-10 zoning.
Okay, thank you, sir. This is a second reading and public hearing of this ordinance, and if there's anyone who would like to speak on this issue, you certainly may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
May I move that we approve the annexation of property located at 792 Henry Street?
Second.
Okay, second. Any discussion? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item 3 is a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to annex property at 103 Clifton Street.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'm going to read this by ordinance title. It's an ordinance to annex to the corporate limits of the city of Aiken certain property consisting of 0.25 acres of land, more or less, owned by Ole and Gladys Fowler and located 103 Clifton Street in the zone, the same residential RS-10. This is the same as the other one that we had on Henry, and this is a public hearing consideration of an ordinance to annex property at 103 Clifton Street under the RS-10 zone.
Okay, thank you. This is a second reading and public hearing of this ordinance, and if anyone would like to speak on this issue, you may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve this ordinance on second reading, annexing the property of Allian Gladys Fowler at 103 Clifton Street.
Okay.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, any discussion?
Mr. Mayor, I've been looking at the map over here. Roger, is it time to send a letter to all the other individuals in this particular section? It looks to me like the numbers obviously work as far as them coming into the city. So it would be nice, rather than the confusion with our garbage collection, whatever, would you want to be proactive on this? Maybe there's a reason we could get the rest of these folks to annex?
We could certainly ask them, but it would have to be a voluntary measure on their part, because unless you have at least 75% of them that want to annex at the time of petition, it's not 75% currently.
I understand. I guess what I'm saying is, if you look at the dark area here, I mean, obviously there's a reason why they want to annex, either it's sewer or whatever, and with the percentage on the car tax coming down, it might be about a break even now, and some of these people may not realize that.
Actually, I think most of them would save money. The difference is that once they're in the city, and if they want to remain on a septic tank, then they're going to have to start paying sewer whether they're on it or not.
Okay.
And so that's why most of them are waiting until their septic systems fail. So over a period of time.
I just wonder if it would be time to be proactive trying to get all these.
We could certainly go ahead and send a letter out to them and
explain what.
Yeah, show them the latest numbers.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously most of their neighbors are coming in the city for some reason. So just a thought.
Mm-hmm. It's a good thought.
Mm-hmm.
Positive.
Okay, any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please, all in favor. Okay, pass this unanimously. Item 4 is the second reading public hearing of an ordinance to annex property at 1726 Two Notch Road.
Yes, sir. This is ordinance to annex the corporate limits of the city of Aiken. Certain property consists of 0.27 acres of land, more or less, owned by Stephen King and located at 1726 Two Notch Road, and is owned the same residential single-family RS-10. Again, they would like to receive the services from the city, and second reading and public hearing consideration tonight to annex property at 1726 Two Notch Road under the RS-10 zoning.
Thank you, sir. This is the second reading and public hearing of this ordinance, and if there's anyone in the audience that would like to speak on this issue, you may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, any discussion?
Is the property around it zoned RS-10?
The property around it is pretty much in the county right now.
But I mean, is it about?
It would be all in the RS-10 or RS-8 zoning, depending on the size of the lots.
So this is not a much denser zoning than the surrounding property?
No. They're all built on already, and they're all fairly small lots.
Okay, any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item 5 is a second reading of an ordinance to amend the zoning ordinance regarding industrial zones. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. I'll read this by title. It's a ordinance amending the zoning ordinance regarding to add the category of limited manufacturing use. Currently, the city has two types of zonings that are allowed. One is industrial, the other one is light industrial. The Willow Run Business Park, which is right off of Beaufort Street in Willow Run, has four different zones right now. One is industrial, and that's where the current structure is at right now. There's also light industrial, general business, residential, multifamily, all out in that area. They wanted to be able to have the ability to allow some type of light manufacturing or assembly at this facility and at other facilities possibly that we may run into in the city. The Planning Commission looked at what to do about this, whether they should have a use added to this category or actually create a new zone. They felt that a new zone would be much better, and to call it limited manufacturing, so they still couldn't do the heavy manufacturing, but they could do some of the assembly. And again, light industrial except for some pair of motors, some welding, some very, very minor things, you can't do any assembly of any type of equipment or anything else that's out there. If you approve this tonight, all you're approving is the new zone. That's all you're approving. And then what would happen at a subsequent meeting from now is you would then probably get a request from Willow Run to zone their property as light industrial, and you'd have to decide if that's what you want to do. The planning department feels this is a good compromise, good way to go to add the zone, and the planning commission did vote unanimously to approve this new category. You did review this at the first meeting on September 22nd, and this is the second reading and public hearing consideration of an ordinance to add a limited manufacturing zone to our zoning ordinance.
Okay, thank you, sir. This is the second reading and public hearing of this ordinance, and if anyone would like to speak on this issue, you may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
May I move that we amend the zoning ordinance regarding industrial zones as submitted?
Okay. Do we have a second?
I second.
Okay. Any discussion?
So then this property would be posted if it were to apply to Willow Run would be posted with signs?
It would be if that's what the desire to have that rezoned at a later date.
I think one of the keys here, too, is that the current building that's out there is in the industrial zone, so I think it would, if that's done, then that industrial building would be changed to this light industrial. Is that the plan?
Correct. Limited manufacturing.
In other words, the line comes through now, Jane, that the building's out there now is industrial. In other words, they could do the heavier. The difference is that this new zone would cover the existing building as well as the other land.
Everybody understand what?
But not automatically.
But I think the plan is
they couldn't do that because we didn't approve that as heavy industrial, for goodness sake.
No. It's already industrial on your map now. That building is in industrial. I mean, I didn't do it. It's on your zoning map.
It's been that way for decades.
As far as what we're doing, I think we're taking it. That's, look at it. I mean, don't believe me. I mean, I've looked at the map.
Well, I know that. I just, you know how I feel about that. So I don't need to go over that.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is it seems to me like with the neighborhood, we're actually helping with taking an industrial site and making it a light industrial site. That's part of what we're doing here.
Right. There's also been comments given to me over the years. And again, I don't want to get into a controversial decision as to where we may be going with this in the future, but we currently have some areas that are zoned light industrial. And I know Bob Meadows came to my office at one time with a client that wanted to do some light manufacturing in there. In other words, all they wanted to do was some assembly, some mixing and some assembly of some small parts. It was not anything that was going to make a lot of noise. It was not going to create any fumes. It was not going to create any dust. But he couldn't do that because light industrial is very limited in what is allowed. This will give council the opportunity to make decisions on other properties that are light industrial and to say, well, we'll allow some limited manufacturing. Conversely, there's some properties that are zoned industrial that I don't believe we want to have as industrial that we could then allow a limited manufacturing. So we feel like there are some instances that would be good for this. Not all, but some.
Yeah. Well, it gives us another choice.
But it's still got to go through the process and be posted,
yeah,
and everybody gets to debate it, and if they don't want it, then we'll debate that at the time.
Any other comments?
I just want to make sure that we're not, that in any of this, no waste is being generated with light industrial. Is that what we're saying?
No what, Les?
Waste. Right.
There's nothing with light industrial, and in limited manufacturing, there should not be any either. That was not the intent of creating this new zone.
Somehow I was thinking that we were already there with that lighting, with that industrial designation. I don't know why I was thinking that. Why? I thought we had already made this happen where we could have the warehousing, the storage, those things that would not generate any waste already in place.
Now we have light
in place. And it's called light industrial.
See, we've got two. We've got industrial and light industrial. So this introduces a third, which is limited. So it really gives us a more options, you know.
More options for various,
for what? Well, for instance, go ahead, Roger.
More options for zoning new property that may come in the city or to change the zoning of existing property that is currently industrial. Or light industrial. You may want to downzone something from industrial to light industrial or limited manufacturing, or you might want to upgrade a light industrial to limited manufacturing, depending on what the situation may be. Just as the mayor said, gives you more options.
Any other comments? Discussion? Okay, we have a motion and second. Show of hands, all in favor? Passing this? Okay. Passes unanimously. Under new business, the first item was the first reading of an ordinance to accept the developer's agreement for Hitchcock Plaza.
Yes, sir. This is an ordinance authorizing the City of Aiken to enter into a developer's agreement with Acadia Hendren Hitchcock Plaza, LLC. And by the way, the representative Cameron back there, you want to raise your hand, is back there to answer any questions you may have. We have been working with him for the last year on Hitchcock Plaza to help him to preserve that shopping center, because we all know that Kmart has moved out. We know that Kroger's will be moving out in the near future. And we don't want to wind up with a location that's going to have a bunch of empty stores. As you have probably read in the paper, not only did they buy the shopping center, but along with that comes the former Fazoli's or Hardee's, Farmer's Furniture. They also just recently purchased. So they have the center and the surrounding properties. The former Goodies is in that mix, even though that's being used by another. It's already being leased. What we would like to do in working with them is to, number one, one of our concerns has been access in and around that portion of the city, vehicular traffic. And they are willing to work the city and develop a roadway, not just some drives going through that you meander through and eventually get from point A to point B, but to create an actual road with curb and gutter, tree-lined, that will lead a person from Silver Bluff Road near the Bank of America, and it'll go all the way through to the Walmart parking lot, and we will try to work with them to get it to go to the Ola Hip Drive, which is that new roadway between Crystals and Arby's. So you would have a continuous roadway. Worst case scenario is, once you get off Ola Hip Drive, you would make a couple of turns through the Walmart parking lot and you're on to Fabian Drive. That's worst case scenario. That's one of the things that they want to work with the city. They'd be willing to put in this roadway. We'd work with them on the trees, and we would do the preliminary engineering or the engineering plans. They also would like to work with the city on the possibility of obtaining some of the property behind the former Kmart to use for possibly loading dock area or expansion of that Kmart building, depending on what entity would go into that building, but it gives them more flexibility. In turn, they would enlarge the pond and whatever is necessary to create the same amount of detention. We have also talked to them, and at our next meeting or next work session, now it'll be the first one in November, we will have a plan as to how to create a north-south road, which is a continuation of Pawnee Drive, Pawnee going between Southside Gallery and KFC, and continuing Pawnee Drive over to Hamilton, which is basically if you go behind the Kmart building, it would go in that direction, north-south, towards Doherty Road. So we're looking at how can we get in and around that area to relieve some of the traffic, and they are willing to work with us. Part of the property they own back there, part of the property they don't, so We'd have to work out the details of that, but that's all spelled out here in this developer's agreement. They have been very good to work with. Do you have a drawing there? Is that... And so tonight for you is a consideration of a developer's agreement with Hitchcock Plaza, laying out all those various details, and upon your consideration, a second reading public hearing would be held.
Okay. Good evening.
Hi,
I'm Cameron Zerbreg. I have two things, Mr. LaDuke. I have a drawing of the center that was the conceptual extension of the road, and then I also brought just some renderings that we are currently showing to tenants.
Could you mind if we pass those around?
Not at all.
Because I know several of them were asking about how the road's going to look, and I did not have that drawing, so.
Okay.
All right. So I'm glad you brought it.
Cameron, could you tell us a little bit about your company and what other developments maybe you have?
Yes, sir. First of all, I'm Cameron Zerbreg. I represent Hendon Properties, which is based in Atlanta. We are retail developers. I have been a development partner with Hendon Properties for 15 years. Our partners on this development, they are a REIT based in New York called Acadia Realty Trust. So Hendon Properties and Acadia Realty Trust have formed a partnership called Acadia Hendon Hitchcock Plaza LLC, and we purchased this shopping center. Between us, all we do is retail. So Hendon Properties has been developing retail for 17 years. We have built a series of small CVS drug stores when we first started, all the way up to the largest outdoor shopping center in the state of New Jersey, which is 1,300,000 square feet. So we've done a little bit of everything in between in the last 15 years. And Acadia is a great partner, very driven toward redevelopment of older shopping centers, and hence the interest in purchasing Hitchcock Plaza, tying into Hitchcock Plaza the Farmers Furniture / Pine Log Plaza shopping center, which we think creates a way to control access and visibility into Hitchcock Plaza. And our goal at present is to just start fast and furiously with the city to create this developer's agreement so that we can attract the tenants with better ingress and egress, better visibility, and a plan to redevelop a shopping center that unfortunately has been a little bit stagnant over the last few years.
Right.
One of the things, and those of us that drive out of this entrance on a regular basis, take our lives in our hands, and I understand trying to get a light, a signalized light. But one of the concerns I have when you deal with the Department of Transportation, if you put a light too close to where there already is a light, sometimes that they, have we had discussions with them, and they will look favorably on this, or?
We have not had preliminary discussions with them. I believe the city has made some gestures relative to the probability of a light. There is a distance issue, and all we can do is really sort of propose and engineer the road and then do the necessary studies to propose a light to the state.
That being said, if, and I know y'all, is there any way to shift it further south, do away with the two roadways you have going in now, having a main entrance and a light? And that might even free up an out parcel here if it was shifted to the south. I mean, would y'all be in?
We would be very open-minded to that. I'm not sure there's enough difference in the distance that will make a difference,
right,
to the state. But we would like to start with the existing and then get some feedback from them before we start proposing alternatives.
You have this Farmers, you own the Farmers Center here, you've acquired that?
Yes, we just acquired it.
Tell me what, y'all plan to do anything with the wings on there, open that up a little bit, or?
Well,
from visibility.
Our short-term goal is to control our destiny relative to that piece of property. What we would love to do, given the right set of circumstances, is to relocate all of the tenants into Hitchcock Plaza.
And then free up this whole...
And create a window and probably create another entrance and probably build something that would be fresh and new, that would complement what we're doing as well as what's happening across the street.
Because one of the problems you have, as you well know, is you've got an entrance here that nobody uses.
Correct.
And the one off of Pine Log, that, you know, it's there, but it doesn't, it's never used. But
right. My feeling is that based on the improvements with Pawnee, because of the Kroger redevelopment and the potential for the Southside Gallery to be converted into something other than its current use, my feeling is that there's an opportunity between the two properties to really improve ingress and egress there.
And you would work with the city as far as trying to connect Pawnee from a north-south, if there's any way to get from here over to Daugherty?
Yeah, that would be mutually beneficial, and that's one of the reasons why we brought up to the city our interest in possibly obtaining some of the pond rights, because the more we give to create the ingress and egress and the better access, the more we need to offset it, and the pond improved and would not make a big difference to anybody, right, but the access would.
Right.
Cameron, the names of the buildings on that first chart we saw, we're not to think that those are actual companies, or are we?
I will tell you that those are actual companies.
Coming here.
Right. Well, they are actual companies that are very interested in this market.
Yeah.
And we have none of them under lease at this time.
Yeah.
Do you have, did you do the project in Fayette County, Georgia?
I don't know, did you like it?
I do.
Okay.
I like the trees. I like the landscaping in that one.
No, I don't think we have done anything to the best of my knowledge in Fayette County.
It looks like that.
Have you done anything in this area?
No, ma'am. We did. We've done some development in Columbia, and we're currently working on a similar type of situation in Sumter, but we have not done anything in this area.
Where in Columbia?
The Irmo Harbison area.
Which area?
Well, originally, don't hold this against me, but we assembled the property for the Walmart and Sam's there and then did some development around that deal.
Do you have traffic engineers you work with as far as ingress and egress about the best way to do it, and do you have professionals that you deal with?
Yes, and we use those professionals market to market, but that was one of the reasons why I asked the city to take the lead on the engineering, so that instead of us proposing to the city what we thought would be the best, the city could propose to us what they thought would be the best. And then, to the extent that we needed an additional engineer to do our studies for traffic, we would just use the one that served our purposes best.
Well, basically what we're doing is you can take this route now, but it's just not very convenient. It's not planned properly.
It doesn't work for the tenants who are looking in the market. It is not convenient, and we're willing to take the step, even without the tenants, to improve that access, because it just doesn't work right now.
Any other comments or questions of Cameron? We certainly appreciate what you're doing, and it really ties in great with what's going on across Pine Log Road there, too, time.
I appreciate the acceptance of what we're doing. It's a nice change of pace in our business.
Mm-hmm. And basically, the buildings that we see out there now, all of them will stay, or most. It looks like most of them. The individual little ones, you know, next to Kroger's now, each one of those.
Well, if you look closely at the rendering below the pretty picture is the actual facade of the Kmart. And so our first choice with both the Kmart and the Kroger is to use the existing buildings and change the facades. But we have several tenants whose emphasis is strictly new construction. So there is a reasonable chance that we may have to tear down the Kmart in order to build for those tenants, if that's what they want.
Right. And then there's a new building you propose, too.
We've shown that conceptually. You know, that is truly conceptual.
Yeah.
That's a byproduct of creating more road frontage. And what do you do to fill the void?
Right. Okay.
I have one question that I don't really think it should be addressed to you, but rather in terms of the traffic management study. I'm not sure how that paragraph, clause number 3, traffic management will be necessary only if one were required by the ordinance under consideration. But what will be the basis for the study?
Basically, there's two different things that we'd be looking at. Is there going to be more square footage, therefore the square footage would be requiring more traffic coming in that center?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing would be, is some of the stores that are going to go in there are going to create more traffic volume because of the type of retail business that they have. Again, if you look at the amount of traffic going in there under the current conditions, and let's just say that was 10,000 vehicles going in there a day, and if the type of businesses and they added more building space and it came up to now 10,900 cars coming into that center, there would not need to be a study because the study says there's got to be 1,000 or more vehicle trips. Based on what we think is going to happen, because one of them was a grocery store and one of them was Kmart, which is quick in and out type of shopping, the type of stores that are going to go there are probably not going to have the same volume as what was there before.
Same number of trips.
Right. So in essence, it probably will be a wash, or actually there might even be less trips going in that center. It's kind of like what happened when Kroger's went across the street to J.B. White's. We didn't feel there was enough of a change to require a new study to be developed.
So my question in part is, of course, because the intersection of 118 and Silver Bluff, I suspect it's pretty close to a D now, or is it not?
I don't know for sure, but I do know that we have had the last month our traffic consultant, Roger Dyer, here doing traffic counts on where Fabian would come in to Silver Bluff, doing traffic counts on Whiskey, doing traffic counts on Doherty Road, doing traffic counts on Pine Log Road, so that we could present that study to you in November. So we have all that data. And we're doing that for ourselves, not for this development, but it ties into this development very well to determine if a traffic signal is warrant, meets the warrant with the State Highway Department, and also to look at it from the state's viewpoint of how close would that signal be at Fabian in relationship to the current signal that's at Pine Log Road and Silver Bluff and the bypass. They normally like to have more than 500 feet apart.
Mm-hmm.
They were surprised that the numbers that we came up with met or came very close to meeting the number of warrants that are necessary for a signal. So we'll be discussing that further with them and see if that's a possibility or not based on the criteria we have.
Roger, didn't I read something that they said that there's not a need for a left-hand turn signal coming east on that, at that interchange? I read that somewhere in this document, which I find it hard to believe that we don't need a left-hand turn signal.
Okay, that was for another study that they did. In other words, if you're going on the bypass and you're coming from Highway 1 and you're coming around on the bypass towards Blockbuster, would a left-hand turn signal be warranted at that intersection to allow people to turn left off the bypass onto Silver Bluff? In other words, you're going then towards Bilo. They went out there and did traffic counts. This is the third time we've asked them to do it in the last 6 years. Every 2 years we ask them, and every time it's been, no, we're not even close yet. and then they look at accidents.
I find it hard to believe it.
Pat, I have some citizens that ask me that, and Roger's right. This is the third time we've asked them to study this, and what I want to do, and I haven't asked Roger for this yet, I want to go back to them. I want to get a detailed analysis of what they what's the criteria so that we can understand, I can understand what meets the warrants and what doesn't meet the warrants, so that we know, we can tell our citizens that are interested in this, look, this meets it, but this is a total number of warrants you have to meet. These meet it, these don't. And so I don't know. And this other one at Dibble Road I asked for, too, and that doesn't meet the warrants either at this time.
Mr. Mayor, I actually went out there, I guess it was Thursday evening, after I got this information. William and I rode there, and when we approached the traffic light, I asked him to turn left, and he said, well, why do you want to go left? And I said, well, I want to go like we're going home. And he said, well, you know, I never do that. And I asked him why, and he said, well, it's so congested on the other end of Silver Bluff when you get to
Whiskey
that it's easier for him to go down, he says, to Whiskey and Pine Log and turn his left, take his left turn there, because the traffic moves faster than going Silver Bluff coming out to Whiskey Road on that end. So it might be that's what a lot of people are doing, even though they're going in that direction. So they're actually dumping back right on Whiskey Road from the Pine Log Road exit.
Yeah. Where it's particularly dangerous, and I'm told this, I've never been up at that point in early in the morning when the sun's coming up out of the east and it's shining right in your face as you're coming up to that intersection. And those cars that are coming south, or coming west rather, you know, they come through there pretty fast sometimes, trying to make that light when it's green. And that's what I've been told is the most dangerous time is early in the morning when the sun's in your eyes, so to speak. But, you know, if it doesn't meet the warrants, it doesn't meet the warrants. So they've got to do their business fair. But I hate to see us have a fatality there or a terrible injury. And then they put a left turn signal on. I feel like it's coming one of these days. Okay, any other comments, questions of Cameron? We've got them all answered for first reading at least?
I have a question, but not for him.
Okay.
What are we committing ourselves to money-wise about?
The mayor was just asking me that same question. And I don't have an exact figure, but we are talking about putting trees. And again, if you look at the board, the last board that just went through, the Fabian Drive that is actually in the shopping center itself is less than half the distance what it'll be all the way to the Walmart Center. City of Aiken accepted responsibility of Fabian Drive as it currently exists from Pawnee Drive all the way into where the former Goodies was at. So we actually have maintenance responsibility, and that area is not going to change a whole lot. There's probably going to be about 50 trees that we'll be buying. We generally get them between 75 and 125, depending on the caliber and where we buy them from. There'll probably be an oak, more than likely. Laurel oaks generally do fairly well in that type of an atmosphere. The engineering, again, looking at just the small portion we have, and we're going to be engineering the whole thing, coming up with some drawings for curb and gutter and other things, is probably going to cost us between $25 and $35, but a lot of that's not their portion of the roadway. So I figure that all together we're probably talking around $25, depending on the trees. We could get up to $35,000 for the engineering and trees. And again, they'll take the trees, they'll plant the trees when they're doing the rest of the work that's out there. Meanwhile, they will give us the right-of-way for this roadway that, you know, council had stated in the past that they wanted to have in there.
And they will actually construct the Fabian Drive improvements at its own expense from Pawnee Drive to the intersection of Pine Oaks. And that will be a city street.
Right. And again,
we're building a city street. We're doing the design and putting the trees in.
No, we're just buying the trees. They'll plant them.
Okay.
Right, and by way, this is indirectly responding to your question. We've anticipated an investment between the road and a potential light somewhere around $350,000. And that does not include the giving of the land. That doesn't put a value on the land that we are dedicating to the city. So we're gonna redo what is necessary to make that a quality road and then install the light if necessary. And that's not an insignificant expense.
I think the critical aspect of here is how does this tie in? We don't want the traffic people to look at how would this tie in to a boulevard road that would go to Daugherty. That's going to be very important, and not have all these. The problem you got where you use it now, you come up, you stop, you got to go back to the left, back, and it's a dangerous situation to come in and out of where it's going. Now, but people use it because they hate to go on, they do anything to keep off of Silver Bluff and Pine Log and Whiskey. So to get back to Walmart. So,
well, I think you're right. I think that Pawnee is going to become a much more significant cut through if that is signalized by Kroger, which I understand it's going to be. And then I think the first priority besides our commitment is making sure that Walmart in some fashion commits to allowing the connectivity over to Whiskey. Because if you finish Pawnee and then Silver Bluff all the way over to Whiskey, then you finally have some contiguous.
But what would happen if we're able to get the signal there, if people are leaving Walmart and going to Jim Lake or Hounds Lake or whatever, they would use this connectivity road if there's a signal. They won't use it now because they can't get across the traffic. It's a dangerous situation. So if we do that, that's the point about this. But getting from Walmart, and that really alleviates a lot of the problem on Whiskey and Pine Law, which is the busiest intersection anywhere in South Aiken.
And we've already had a very productive conversation with Walmart about post-holiday efforts to, you know, bring plans to them and show them how they're only losing a few parking spaces and how dedicating the right-of-way would be important to us and to them.
When is it not a holiday at Walmart?
Okay, anything else? Cameron, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have a motion in a second?
So moved. I'd be very pleased to
second,
move ahead.
Okay, we have a second now. Any other discussion?
Just one question, I'll leave it alone. Are we replacing the existing trees that are on Fabian now? Are they going to be, because some of those is a mishmash of trees that are down there now.
If there's any decent trees, we'll be replacing them, but I don't know of any.
No, I'm talking about, I agree with replacing them, but this is going to be all the way through.
We would like to create a theme,
that's
consistency.
What I just want to make sure. I agree with that. I just want to, if you go down there now, there's all kind of trees in there that it needs to be a boulevard.
We'd like to see it 20 years from now where you would really see a boulevard where a canopy of trees would really make that a classy road.
Good point, Pat. Anything else? Okay, if not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously. Item 2, first reading of an ordinance to approve the traffic management study. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. This is an ordinance amending the code of the City of Aiken to adopt a traffic management ordinance. Since 2001, we've been working on this, and a lot of good work has gone into it. And I gave a little history here, how that all went about, but bringing us up to 2003 is when the council first saw the ordinance. At that time, you asked to go back to the Planning Commission, and you had talked about a traffic impact fee, and I just want to mention that because the reason at the time in spring of 2003 that you did not adopt, you did not look at the traffic impact fee, is because you felt that a number of these projects that were going to be purchased or built using the impact fee could be done with the 1 cent sales tax. And so council said, let's take a look at the once on sales tax before we get involved with any kind of an impact fee. And yes, the majority of the roads that we want to get built, and I'm talking about major roadways, can be done with the 1 cent impact fee, 1 cent sales tax. Now we're talking about possibly some new roads in the future with Pawnee Drive and other things, but that's where it went. It went back to the Planning Commission this spring. They approved it. And council then, after a large gathering of citizens at a public hearing, decided to gather together a citizens committee representing members that council chose and council members. A lot of discussion was held at the two meetings we had. You talked about what traffic thresholds should a traffic study be, when should it be considered, and there was some compromise made on that of 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, depending on the level of service of the traffic in front of those developments. You discussed whether or not the traffic study should consider the time period for the project just when it's completed or 5 to 10 years from that time. You also talked about should it look at areas beyond where the development should be at, and then what type of funding should be paid for, and what should that funding involve. We did come up with some various compromises. We took that language, put it into a draft ordinance, which you reviewed at the last meeting. We sent that out to all of the committee members. We got two responses back. One came from Dick Dwyer, and he had several thoughts involved with that, most of which, you know, we worked on with a compromise on that. And then Tad Barber had a couple of comments. And I tried to explain this, but let me try to re-explain it from my memo here. He asked that, what is the difference between paragraph 3 and 4 of section 11.5? And paragraph 3 basically says that the funding of any project would be paid for by the developer on a pro rata share. But then the next one says that they should be paying, in lieu of the improvement, they could pay 150% or whatever. What is happening on this is council may come up to a situation, and the developer will come to the Planning Commission and then to City Council and say, this improvement that the traffic study proposes cannot be built at this time. Maybe the right-hand turn lane, for some reason, the highway department says no or just doesn't work for whatever reason. And council agrees that that improvement cannot be done. And instead you say that improvement would have cost $100,000. And we want to make an improvement a block away at Doherty Road. And so you could ask them that instead of doing this improvement this time, we know that improvements can be made at a later time, and we'll have to come up with funding from somewhere. Let's take that money that you would have paid for that improvement or a certain amount of it and use it on another project. It's a situation that may come up or may never come up, but it gives you some flexibility. It gives the developer some flexibility on situations where improvements maybe for some reason could not be made at that new development, that you could take that like money and use it at another location. Now I see some possible blank looks on your face, so I hope I was able to explain that to you. Mm-hmm. But that's what Tad was questioning, why the two different. It's because we do see them as being different, that paragraph 3 is different from paragraph 4, and it gives council a little more flexibility. His second comment we felt had merit. It was a little redundant from what we had initially, and so we did make those changes. We feel that this is a good job on staff's part, on the committee's part, on city's council part. It may not be a perfect ordinance. It does give you a foundation to start off with. And if we feel that it doesn't meet all the expectations that you had or that the development community had, we could always revisit it, like we have on several other situations where you have developed new ordinances. But it gives you something that we feel will allow some changes to be made in the future as we use this ordinance to make traffic flow better within our community. Saying all that, this is the first reading of the traffic ordinance, and upon your consideration, a second reading and public hearing would be held.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, sir.
There's one little thing, and I'm sure you're going to agree with me.
What is that one little thing?
What is it? I feel like Columbo all over again. Anyway, 11.1, the purpose of this ordinance shall be to try to maintain. I thought we took try out.
Oh, we did, too.
And I'm sorry, Roger, I might have mentioned this earlier, but I didn't notice.
You're exactly right. Somewhere else over here, and I can't find it right now, it says that we will maintain.
Yes.
At least to level 9.
Yeah.
Level D, excuse service
so
level D.
I think we need to take care, shall be to maintain at least.
I agree with that. Does anybody disagree?
No.
And then I want to say I thought Dick Duar did a very thoughtful memorandum on the traffic ordinance as a whole, and I think he made some very worthwhile points. I did have one little question about that, however, which was the first part, and Dick and I have talked about it. And as I understood it, when we had the original 100 trips per day, that really had come out of examples in other cities where they were using 100 peak trips per day, which translates in a multiple of 10 into 1,000 trips a day. So if you use overall trips rather than peak hour trips. So I think we didn't really make a significant change at the bottom. We made it a little more clear. And I think that the fact that we went to the 2,000 and the 3,000 mm-hmm. was a very fair compromise.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Any other? Let's see. Let's have a motion in a second, then we can see if there are any other discussion items. Sir? You did. You made a motion, didn't you?
No, I spoke too soon again, but I'm very pleased to make the motion.
That's okay.
And I've got my two cents in.
You can get by with it tonight.
I'll second it.
Okay, we've got a motion, and Leslie seconded it? Okay.
Yeah,
see. Huh? Any other comments?
I still worry about this pro rata formula, exactly how we're going to figure that, and I don't understand that, and I'm worried that we won't be having the money to do that, and I don't know, that just really...
Figuring out the pro rata is going to be the easy part. You know, I think that's easy to determine based on the traffic volumes that they add to from their development at those intersections, whether it be 10, 20, 30, 40, 50% addition. The formula, that's the easy part to figure out. How you pay for the part that they don't pay for becomes more of the challenge that we will have as a city. We have faced that in other situations already on several occasions. I know the mayor was very concerned about it and came to my office within days after all that discussion developed and said, how can we pay for that? And that's a good question, you know, because sooner or later we're going to come up with one of these projects where we're going to need several hundreds of thousands of dollars and we may not have the money. I have been trying to set aside over the last several years in a holding account with funds that were left over from previous years to build up some accounts so that when these projects, good example, what we had to do on this Olahit lane between Arby's and the Crystals, that cost us well over $100,000. And we were able to do that using some holding funds because it was a needed improvement to provide better access. So the pro rata portion to determine who pays what is just a formula, mathematical formula. The payment is something that we'll have to look at on a case-by-case basis. And in some instances, we may need to go ahead and budget, knowing an improvement may be coming up, of some amount of money. Another way of doing this would be to put in the budget every year X amount of dollars, say $50,000, towards future roadway improvements that we might have that would have to deal with that part of the formula for the pro rata. Council, the other ways of doing this, as we discussed in the past, is you could pay for it through a means like a vehicle assessment, which the county has, $10 per vehicle. North Augusta set aside and raised their taxes a couple years ago and set aside so many mills for it. None of those things are popular, but we do not have funding set aside for this other than the holding funds. And in the holding funds, we probably have right now $600,000 set aside for future roadway, streetscape, parkway type improvements that may come up in the future.
One of the things I think that's going to be helpful on is that this will help us set priorities with the funds that we're supposed to get from the state and the county as it relates to how do we alleviate traffic problems, and those funds that we know that we've looked at, instead of saying, well, we're going to do this major project, maybe we break them down into four smaller projects that are doable that help alleviate a problem that we got. And I think we've got examples of that right now, that I think the shift trying to get Silver Bluff Road improved, Daugherty Road, the connectors off of Daugherty Road. I did have one question as it relates to the 1 cent sales tax. There is specific money set aside in there for design of a connector road that we all studied for.
Yes.
Now, is there flexibility in that if the road is use of an existing road but it's still a connector road, that money can be used to design that road if the committee comes together and says it's going to be a certain place?
The way I would look at that 1 cent sales tax, it's got to be used for the specific project that is in the referendum. And as long as it's connected with a connector roadway between the Silver Bluff and Whiskey,
okay,
the area that the consultants and then the committee decided on, that'll be fine.
I got you. Good.
Let me mention two other things, too. There is a provision here under, let's see, Section 11.5 all the way down to 6. Where deemed appropriate by City Council, the scale or a design of a proposed project which is the subject of an application for annexation, rezoning, concept plan, or city services may be required to be altered to reduce the impact of traffic to be generated by a proposed project. I mean, I think that's a last resort, but the Council does have that. You recall we wanted that in there, certainly when we talked. In our larger committee, too, with our representatives that we chose. And I think everyone was acceptable that agreed to that. So in a case where perhaps we don't have the money, or can't get it quickly some way, we might elect to do this. To say, okay, let's cut that size of that down and such that it doesn't generate the amount of traffic that would make it go below level of service D. I think it's the last resort. But.
But in that case, I think the pro rata would almost discourage, if we couldn't come up with the money, then we wouldn't approve the development. It would almost seem to me to be better to, I would hope that our requests for people that had to do mitigation would not be outrageous. In other words, I wouldn't expect someone to widen a road. I mean, I'm not thinking in terms, and I don't think any of us are, in terms of outrageous requests on property that's way far away or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I just worry about this pro rata thing being something that's that we really can't budget for easily. I mean, it's hard to figure out how much to put aside for it, and that if I were doing a project and I wanted to be in a certain place because it had all that traffic around it, which is one of the reasons you want to be where you want to be, I would rather do reasonable mitigation myself, you know, and be sure I could do the kind of project I needed to do, rather than be told, well, you know, you can do 20%, but the city has to come up with 80%, and they don't have it, and they haven't budgeted for this amount, and I don't know. Just
I think we have to recognize the fact that we want level service D. Mm-hmm. That's what everybody says. And that's what the people have told me. So what we've got to do is say, folks, you wanted it. In order to get it, we're going to have to get it from somewhere. And it's just like the storm drainage deal. You know, when the developer comes and says, well, I'm going to develop this, and we just said, all right, you can develop it. You've got to fix all the Hitchcock Woods. There wouldn't have been anything done. Everybody had to take a piece of the pie to get it done. So that's part of it, Jane. The other side of it is this still does not stop planning or us to determine we want these improvements done at your interchange. That this, you still do that. This is over and above. Right, Roger? I mean, this is all, I mean, they still do the stuff that is related to their particular property.
100% they would pay for this.
100%. We don't pay
just like.
They don't deduct the cars that are already going by
right
there and all
that. Not their development.
And
Proletta is away from their development, an intersection away or something that's not connected right next to their development.
Yeah. We've said, what, a half a mile each way.
Up to a half mile.
Roger, this, if, it's safe for instance, what we've just been going over with the discussions with Hitchcock and connector from Pine Log to Silver Bluff to Daugherty Road. If we know that a new development's going to be put in or a new building and it adds square footage or whatever, and we know that this connector that we're working on that we hope to get done would bring the level down, then we could say your portion of that, the pro rata share, would be X if we have a five-year plan to try to do these things that we're supposed to be talking about in the next month or so as far as how these things connect, then that would be their responsibility to pay for part of that road, would it not be? Their pro rata share if fixing that road. In other words, you look at the traffic on Daugherty and Whiskey Road right now. If there was a development there, in that interchange with 4 acres or whatever that would be, and it caused that much more traffic, and we were able to come up with a plan about how to connect Daugherty with the light at Pawnee and whatever, and it alleviated that corner there going to a D, they would be responsible to pay a pro rata share of the amount that they increased. Isn't that right? That's the way it would work.
That's the way I understand it.
But inherent in all this is that there's got to be a solution.
Yeah.
I mean, if there is no solution, then we may end up with the saying, well, we can't do anything if there is no solution. Inherent in this is that there is a solution. Now, how we pay for the solution is what we're debating here, but inherent in this document is that there's a solution to maintain level D service.
Yes. Mm-hmm. 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 The other thing we have to be aware of is that we've got an awful lot of county land right outside our city limits. And if this thing is too harsh, then we could easily drive someone right outside the city limits. They could build their business. We'd get the traffic, and we'd have no authority whatsoever. And that's always on my mind. That happened with the first Lowe's building on Whiskey Road, you remember. They didn't want to be in the city. For whatever reasons, they built right, just moved right on down to the county line, and they built in the county. And we had no landscaping ordinance, we had no authority whatsoever, we still got everything, the traffic. And I don't think we want that to happen if there's any way around it. I know I don't. So I think this is a good place to start. I think it's certainly a negotiated kind of thing, and as Roger said earlier, it's not perfect probably, but it's something we can work with and make changes as we see fit going forward in the future. So I know we all do. We appreciate all the work that's gone into this from everybody over the years to get to the point we are.
Mr. Mayor, I only want to say that the whole traffic management ordinance is very readable. Sometimes we can get stacked with several pages that you can't really comprehend what you're actually reading, but there's not a lot of language in here that prohibits a person from really understanding what the document contains. So.
Where's Roger?
Right.
We didn't ask our attorney to help write it. So.
Okay. Roger wouldn't let me have any input into it at all. That's why it's so readable.
And so short.
Right.
No, it doesn't.
You know, you're talking about coming a long way for the motion to be made by Dick and be seconded by me, even though it was seconded by you. We've come a long way as city council on this traffic thing, I'll tell you.
Okay, we have a motion. We have a second. Any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously. Very good. I would like to recognize Dick DeWall, who is one of our citizen committee members. Dick's here. Relatively new resident to Aiken, but offered a lot of good advice. We appreciate that, Dick. And look forward to you participating in the future with the
this
city.
This seems like the right time.
Okay.
We may as well. He did such a good job, I decided that he would be an excellent person to go on the Community Development Committee, and therefore I've given you all bios tonight.
Okay, great. That's great. Okay, moving on to the third and last item, I think, acceptance of the annual report for fiscal year 2003-2004. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. Council, all you're going to be doing is accepting this as information, but a lot of hard work went in this from the staff, and really the hard work went in all year round, where you as council gave us some goals, some direction, and then staff worked on getting this completed. I really want to, and I'm sorry that Bill Reynolds left, but congratulate the planning department especially and the commission that worked along with it. If you look in the report and you think of last year, three major accomplishments were completed by the planning commission. The Old Aiken Master Plan, the Big Box Ordinance, the Traffic Ordinance, and a fourth one was the Open Space Plan. Those are four major pieces of work that generally, if you get one item like that through done a year, it's a major accomplishment. They got four of those things done in one year. These four documents are going to go ahead and go a long way to be the blueprint of what the city's going to be like in the future. You know, if you don't have a plan, you don't know where you're going. And these four documents that they put together are tremendous. And I really congratulate Ed and his staff and the Planning Commission for what they've done and getting this done. And I know the Planning Commission has taken a lot of hits in the past for not getting things done and being rather slow at times, and it seems like things are dragging on. Well, I think all things came together here, and they're to be highly congratulated. They're basically halfway through the action agenda for this year already. The major task ahead of them, of course, is the North Side Comprehensive Plan. We got all those meter readers changed out. It appears it's doing what we were hoping. Appears our revenue stream is going to go up this year. And I told you last May that I might be coming back to you in December with a increase. Right now, it's past September. I haven't come back to you. I don't plan at this point in time. And if the revenues come in like they have in the last several months, we look like we'll be in pretty good shape. And we've had a very wet June. We had some pretty heavy rains during August and September, but we're seem to be getting the revenue in. I think a lot of that has to do with Larry and Anita and getting all these new meters in. Won the Municipal Cup. One of the challenges you had was to work in the airport to get the runway lengthened and strengthened. And the secondary runway is now taken care of. We heard for a long time about the secondary runway, and I remember there were some real woes on the part of our FBO and others that we were putting money into the terminal, and therefore we weren't going to get the secondary runway paved. They're both done, and everybody's happy now. At the next meeting, we'll be coming to you with the sale of 6.5 acres, I think, about 6.5 acres at the airport for about $200,000 sale along Highway 1 that somebody would like to buy a local business here to help pay for that debt that we have from these projects. So just a tremendous job. If you get a chance to look through some of these things, I can't say enough good things about the staff that we have here and the dedication that each of them have done. So council needs to accept this as information. It's available for you and citizens to look at, and there's just a wealth of information within it.
Just let me say, we all agree with what Roger said, Ed, and please pass it on to everybody that's had a part of the work that you've accomplished already. It's wonderful. And this book, this information in this book is just, it's great. I know I refer to it quite often, and it's got so much information in it about the city, and it's just a wonderful document in itself. Do we have a motion and a second?
I do, Mr. Mayor. I would like to move that we accept this annual report for 2003-2004 with a lot of thanks to all the hard work that was put into it. It really is beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Do we have a second?
My second.
Second, okay. Any discussion?
Mr. Mayor, and I know we're going to be working on this 2004-2005, but number five on the goals and objectives, encourage coordination of goals and function within Aiken arts community and performing arts theater, and I think that's critical. We've still got a lot of assets that we have downtown, that coordinating that with the city taking the lead, however we do this tourism person or whatever, I think somebody staff-wise or time-wise has got to take the time to coordinate those entities, because we have an awful lot of assets. And I know we're taking steps toward that with this new committee that we're working on.
They should have a recommendation next month on where and what to do.
Okay.
They've been meeting they've had probably about 12 meetings. They've been really working hard, these 11 committee members.
Okay.
What committee?
Well, you've had, 89 or so applications for the... are you talking about...
Pat's talking about is what I would refer to like as an art alliance.
Mm-hmm.
We've asked for committee members from all the various arts entities, and they've been sitting down. Bill Reynolds is... We sucker him in to be the chairman of the committee. One more role for him. And they will be coming out with a report. We thought we would have it last week, that they wanted one more meeting to discuss all the... They've been looking at other communities as to what they do. Half the communities have it under the city council. Half of them have their own entity set up as a 501c3. And so they're looking at what to do, and probably going to come up with a hybrid between the two as a recommendation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But that is very critical as to where and what.
I know we've been talking about that for, and I think we need to get something done within the next year to say we've got
about a long time.
Yeah. We've got a lot of assets that we spent a lot of money on that we need to make sure we're in, and we're doing better at it. I'm just saying that was number five, and we ain't there yet on that one.
All right. It's working.
And just so you know, one of the things that you approved, Lenny Aiken Corporation working with the Performing Arts Committee, Tom Hofstetter, and I have a contract on my desk right now ready to sign with Juilliard to have a performance next spring. We're kind of excited about that.
A lot of good things.
Let me add another comment regarding our downtown. It is such a pleasure, particularly near the weekend, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, to see our downtown area so heavily populated with people coming downtown for eating and just for walking around and seeing what's in the downtown area. It's just it's great to see the alley it's highly populated with people. Mm-hmm. Just
mm-hmm.
seeing what we have here.
And at our meeting next time, one of the work session items is going to be the building at 224 Park Avenue. That's the one between the Bowery and the shop. The walls are pretty bad shape, so they're ready to start the reconstruction of that building. So they'll be coming with a proposal to council.
Great.
So
that's
the same people that own DeVore's. Own that building.
Okay.
And so they have a proposal. I have not seen it yet. I've talked to them on the phone, but we'll be talking about that at the next meeting. That'll be just really the last long-standing vacant building we have downtown.
DeVore stayed pretty crowded.
So, and they're talking about something really exciting possibly going there.
Okay, we've got a motion and second. Any other discussion on this subject? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Okay.
I just had one other request. I've been reading, you know, about the 1% sales tax, both in the water bill, and I think you've made some speeches and things like that. And some of the amounts are not the amounts. Could we get a, that I remember, could we get a list of what, you know, the committee finally proposed? Because I've had questions about it, and I feel kind of...
I'll do that, and I'll get you what the citizens are going to see when they go to vote.
You want the full list from the county?
I've got the whole county list.
What finally came out, right.
Right, not just our list, but the North Augusta, the other cities.
No, I'm really interested. The only questions I've had have been about our part. Okay. So, I mean... But if it's easier just to do the whole thing, however, it's better.
Where are you going to be tomorrow afternoon?
Probably the office.
Yeah.
I'll get you a copy. I'll bring it by.
I don't need it that urgently.
Okay.
Whatever. You can give it to me anytime. I can pick it up. Whatever. I'll leave it with Sarah then.
I'll leave it with Sarah.
That's fine.
Everybody want a copy?
Yeah. The list that we voted on that was sent with Mr. Wade Brody, who was our representative, is basically what we had approved, Wade, in the joint committee?
Basically or exactly?
Exactly,
except there was possibly some extra money, and council had asked, at least what I recall council asking, that if there was any additional money that would go to the northeast side part that we had proposed. And so if they get more money than they anticipate, at the very end, that money would be used for that part.
So everything that you agreed on. Extra money is going to go to the park.
Right. If there is any extra money.
Well, then I know what it is. Yeah, I just was confused.
The dollar,
I looked at figures. It didn't look like what I was.
The dollar amounts that you approved here, none of those got changed. The priority did not get changed. It's exactly in the ballot with the exact numbers for those projects.
When you go to the polls, they've got a little brochure. It's kind of like that in fine print, exactly like what you're going to get when you get in the voting booth to vote. Only the with big papers, you know, it's bigger, but there are many pages. There, I don't know, it seems like they're about 8 to 10 pages because it's got the whole county there.
Yeah.
So.
And you all will print that in the paper, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yes, I have been. I have been talking a lot. I'm going to be talking to the Newcomers Club tomorrow. I've got another talk about that. That's my main focus. We've got to get that passed. Hopefully.
Another question I had, it seemed to me that this R6 zoning, you know, after the last meeting we had, is not what I think of as low density. So that when we do the comprehensive plan and we say in this area we want low density development, it seems that the others have been okay, but the R6 has been our problem. And I just thought Mr. Bird, that gentleman that had the photographs, did such a great, I mean, he really did a good presentation of showing us how R6 zoning works between commercial areas and less dense areas and all of that. And I just wonder if we want to still keep considering that as low-density zoning. I don't know. Six units, what is it, six to an acre, seven
six
to an
units
acre?
An acre is out, yeah, roughly.
I just would like us all to think about it, because that seems to be the source of problems when we come to our comprehensive plan, when we say, well, the comprehensive plan says low density zoning, and then someone says, well, I'm in compliance with that, I'm going to put, you know, six units an acre. And people have talked, they don't seem to think of that as low density. They think of it as medium density, not high density, but medium.
So really we're talking a definition of what is low density then.
I think that's what the questions that I've heard.
We debated that before as far as how things work. Because it is confusing if you actually read it and say, well, what is considered? I'm talking about if you read through it, the definitions of it. But the real critical aspect is, what's the size of the units, the size of the lots you can go in there, and are they attached or detached, and how many you can get in there. So
I did actually go online and checked out a couple of cities, I guess Charleston for one, and there the definition of urban low density, if you will, is a minimum lot size of 8,000 square feet, not 6,000. And I kind of agree that that's more realistic. Newbury, I think, was 7,000. I found a couple others that were, but 6 was fairly dense to 6,000 square feet. But really would permit you to do what, as much as 6 units, give or take, probably.
Now, council, in a couple of months, will be talking to the Planning Commission again about the next action agenda. And if that's an area that you want to look into, to take a look at residential zoning, and we have the R6, R8, R10, R12, R15. That certainly is a subject they could look at. The one thing that may help some of this, at the next council meeting, you'll have first reading of PUDs. And the PUD gives you a lot of leverage and gives the ability to the developer to do an awful lot of things. Currently, PUDs are not allowed on property that's already inside the city. It could be used as you annex property, but it's not allowed on property. And that allows you to do some really creative things where you could cluster housing in one area on smaller lots, create open spaces in other areas. But that will help, but that doesn't solve what all you were talking about with the RS6. And that's something the Planning Commission, as we look at the action agenda, we might want to consider for next year.
I think the other thing, too, is in that you have to break it down and look at the minimum lot frontage building site. So, I mean, that 6,000 square feet is, you actually get 7.26 units per acre if you do just a 6,000, which is a lot. But you have to look at it from the standpoint of what's your minimum frontage. Also, you got to look at, these are detached units. What's the fire code call as far as how close the units have to be? So there's other things you look at, but I think it's better if it's clear about, Jane, I agree with you, if it's clear about what people come in, because that's not what they think of when they start talking about single-family residential. But I think the whole point about that whole meeting was, it's not that we object to RS6, it's the fact of where is it, and is it land planned, and is it in a neighborhood that's what everything's like? I mean, that's what it was about.
The other thing is about 25% of that property is going to be developed with storm drainage, roads, other open space. So you really don't have 6 units per acre.
Yeah, you can't get it when you actually
have to go ahead and add in all those other things with that property. So you're probably down to only 4 or 5 units per acre.
It is still, the definition is the one. And we're kind of, the comprehensive plan was written to fit the current zoning ordinance. That's really how it came to be. And everything that was residential was by definition low density.
Well, we're here at 8 o'clock Wednesday morning. 8 a.m. Wednesday.
I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, we are adjourned.
Thank you.
Yes, I know you are.
This discussion.